the world were like a Sleep Number mattress, everything would adapt for your comfort. Because as your life changes and your body changes, Sleep Number mattresses adapt and shift to give you personalized comfort night after night. And now it's the final days of our Everything's on Sale event. Save up to $1,200 on mattresses. Our Memorial Day event ends Monday. To experience a whole new world of comfort, visit a Sleep Number store or go to sleepnumber.com. Sleep Number, to a good life's sleep.
Everyone, and welcome to edition 193 of the NRF1 podcast, your Formula One podcast recorded right here in Norfolk, UK, brought to you by our proud partners Grand Prix Racing Online. You can sign up to the game by visiting nrf1.uk or gpro.net/nrf1. It is very dark here and we are in nighttime. My name is Michael Bailey, and in this podcast here at the Buck Inn in Norwich, we're going to preview the 2017 Italian Grand Prix. Will we get a home win? Will Esteban Ocon deck someone in pink? And will Danny Ric finally get his name right? All important questions. Joining me for the discussion are, once again, Perry Hamilton, David Tillier and Melissa Rowlands. How are we all, everyone? Everyone all right?
Yeah, good, thank you.
Very pleasant, thank you.
Very well.
Are we getting cold?
No more than normal.
British summertime. So, it's all about Ferrari, really, isn't it? Monza, Italian Grand Prix. And especially this year, with, yeah, you know, them having a chance of winning it.
Oh, God, yeah. I mean, the old Tifosi will be on their feet, won't they? They'll be screaming and shouting and hollering and flag waving and wearing red and setting off flares and doing all the stuff that, you know, rowdy Italian fans do.
Anarchy. Anarchy. No, they'll stand a good chance, definitely.
We'd like to go to Monza.
For the atmosphere, definitely, yeah. I mean, I'm trying to pick a Grand Prix to go to next year. And I don't think it's going to be Monza, but Monza is a consideration, definitely.
I flew to Linate, didn't I, last year, to go and pick up Sir Jackie.
You did? There was a race when he had his, yeah, or he ordered his date and banana sandwich.
That was, yeah. So I kind of flew in and was taxiing behind Lewis's red jet, but I didn't actually go to the race.
Lewis's jet is red?
Yeah, red Bombardier.
Yeah.
Is it?
Yeah.
He doesn't use it so much, though, because he's trying to save a bit of money.
Is he? Why?
I don't know. It's very expensive, I suppose, to run a jet.
Oh, yeah, but not when you've got 59 million. Well, I don't know, maybe it is.
It's not really his jet anyway, is it? It's given to him by the people who make it, and so that he can ponce about in it and
advertise it.
Yeah.
God, you see, that's the thing. The more money you earn, the less you have to pay for things.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if that's factually correct, but I'm fairly sure it's
that's how you work, isn't it? That's how the motorsport journalisting goes. It doesn't happen like that in football, I can tell you that much. There we go. Okay, how about the last time Ferrari won their home race?
Go on, nerd.
I think she's talking to you, DT.
That's probably true.
Yeah, probably true.
Do you know DT?
Alonso's one, isn't he?
I don't know, you tell me, I'll ask the question.
I was just going to say 2010, so to be different, I'll say 2011.
I'll say 2012. I don't know.
Should have trusted the nerd, as in DT. Was Fernando Alonso in 2010? Got 10 points.
Hey, I was going to say 2010, but I changed it for the interesting part of it.
How about the last time Seb won there?
Ooh.
Got his first win there, didn't he?
Oh, did he? Yeah. No. No, it was with Toro Rosso,
yeah,
wasn't it?
Yeah, it was at Monza.
Was that in Monza?
It was Monza, wasn't it?
Look at me, I'm not a nerd.
Oh, I don't know. Yeah, it might have been.
It was his first victory, wasn't it? I'm sure it was Monza.
2013.
Everyone listening will be going, yes, obviously, yeah.
This has got bored with all our nerd talk. She's like, 2013. Just to be different, I'm going to say 2012.
Oh, he's Googling.
I'm Googling.
Googling what? Well, hang on, give me a suggestion for when the last time Seb won.
Last time.
Alan's already answered it. He's shouting at us.
Yeah. He won't be the only one.
2012.
I said 2012. You got. You didn't.
What did you say, Melissa?
2013.
You're right. Well done. It was.
I'm going to get one of these right in a minute.
With Red Bull, obviously, back then. When was the last time Kimi won at Monza?
Oh crikey.
I'm going to say 2009.
No. Yeah. Sebastian Vettel, first win, 2008 Italian Grand Prix.
No, never doubt him.
2008.
Last time Kimi won at Monza?
Don't know.
It's a trick question. He's never won at Monza. What a... I am. Yeah, all right, DT. All right, well done. So should Mercedes... How will Mercedes go into this? Will they be worried at all? Will they be... Because they're obviously conscious of the pace. Pardon? Melissa?
With very little wing. A wing and a prayer.
A wing and a prayer.
Couldn't resist, sorry, it was terrible. Yeah, I mean, they've got the outright pace, but from what I've been hearing, Ferrari have got a car that is very well tuned for Monza. So I think it's going to be another close race, because I think whilst Mercedes are probably still going to have the top end speed, I think Ferrari might just have a little bit more pace in the corner. So I think overall, I think we're going to see another close race.
I think they're going to go into it motivated, because if you can walk into another team's house, open the fridge, eat their food, kick their dog and roll out like you own the place, then you've got in their heads. And if you can perform well here, then you're done for the rest of the season. I think if Merck win here at Monza, in Ferrari's backyard, again, against a car that, as DT has quite rightly said, is geared to give them a win at Monza, and if they can spoil that party, then they have on that team from a great height, and the rest is academic.
I think it'll come down to qualifying. I think whoever's going to top quali is theirs to lose. So Mercedes need to pull it out in quali, and if they get a 1-2, then I think it's theirs to lose. If they don't, then I think it's going to be difficult.
It'll be interesting, because of course Lewis can beat Michael Schumacher's record, having equaled it. Interesting that we've got Singapore coming up. Sebastian is so good around Singapore that
he's
guess
good around Asia generally, isn't he?
But it's a curious point, isn't it? Because we can sit there and say, you know, if Mercedes and Lewis go and do the business in their own backyard, in Ferrari's own backyard, that really gets in their heads. Likewise, if Ferrari win this and then go to Singapore and Seb does what he always does, you know, that is a major statement then, because he could have a serious points gap going into whatever the next race is after that, which I don't know.
Well, not Singapore.
Malaysia. If you... I had this thought when I was watching the race on... I actually watched it on Monday, but when I watched the race, you flip those first two cars, and people are going to go, yeah, well, that's basic maths, Perry, I know. But still, if you flip those two cars and the way they finished in that race, you, instead of looking at a 7-point gap, you're looking at a 21-point gap. That's huge. That's a huge gap. It takes a lot of clawing back. I think Lewis knows that. I don't think he's ready to give it up. You know, I think he wants to take that away. Because again, you have the exact same thing. Vettel wins and Hamilton comes second, back up to 14 points. You can't keep floating around that double-digit point lead. It's got to be less than that come the end of the season.
They both know what to do as well, don't they? They've been there before. They've done it. They know what to do. They psychologically, it's going to just come down to a psychological battle, isn't it, at the end of the day. They both know what to do, how to turn it around, how to switch on when they have to. So, yeah, I think you're right. I think whoever's going to win this one, that could well be... Tell you what.
There's so many good psychological aspects of this season, though, because Seb's never lost a championship that he's led. Full stop. Ever. So once he's been in the lead in a championship, Lewis has never led this championship. Remarkably. I'm sure that's something I heard on the commentary. Lewis has never led this championship this year.
Can he lead it by a point or two?
No,
I don't think
he's not,
has he?
No, he's not led it this year at all. And Seb's never lost since winning a championship. But Seb's never had to win a championship this well contested. His championships are him scurrying off into the distance and putting distance between him and everyone else and winning that way and having it wrapped up with 2-3 races
but
to go.
Is it because the Ferrari's improved, the car's improved? Because Ferrari, when's the last time they actually won a championship? Because Seb's won it, hasn't he, with Red Bull? Mm. Then it's been all Lewis, so...
And I mean,
is it because Seb's so good, or is it because actually Ferrari have gone and sorted the car out?
I do think it's a combination of the two. I'm one of the first people to bash Seb, but I actually think he's a very fast driver. He's a very fast driver. But again, you bring up that psychological element. Seb signed with Ferrari to bring championships to Ferrari. Yeah. He can do that this year. And he's got a bit... I mean, I'm just looking at so many things. What are your motivators? What are your detractors? There's so much going on off the track at the moment.
Well, there's the chance of him winning at a second team, which is obviously a crucial thing that fired Lewis up hugely. But also the idea that this would be Seb's fifth title. He's going up against someone who could win his fourth and equal him. I mean, that's a major factor in terms of these two drivers, you know, the top drivers of our generation.
Yeah, I think it's interesting this
their generation. Oh, sorry, DT.
Our generation.
Not me, yeah.
There, Mike.
Sorry.
I'm the same age as Lewis, I think.
I'm older than all of you.
Let's not get into an age battle. Yeah, I'm the oldest, most experienced and wisest.
Yeah. Again, love you, Callum.
But no, I think it's an interesting battle between the two of those. I still don't see Vettel having the edge over Lewis in terms of, I think Lewis has got, even though he's been on the back foot points wise throughout the whole season, and he hasn't necessarily always delivered.
Is that him not delivering or the car not delivering?
I think.
Has he had many DNFs, Lewis? I can't even think what he's
not
had.
Really this year, no.
I mean, in Hungary, I don't think he delivered. Mm. I think he's had a couple of races where he's finished outside the podium when he should have done. You know, he's been beaten by Valtteri on a couple of occasions.
So Lewis
hasn't finished, and he's only ever, if he's finished on the podium, he's been first.
Yeah.
This season,
yeah, it has been one or, yeah. Or nothing,
one
or nothing.
Yeah. One or t'other. He still, though, for me, has the edge over Vettel, and I still can't see Vettel winning the championship, just because there's just something about Lewis that's just, he's just got that edge, and I just.
Although I do remember last season we were at the mid-season break, just coming back after it and saying I still don't see Nico Rosberg winning the championship. No,
I was probably still declaring it would never happen, so we'll ignore that.
Don't get me wrong, I'm very used to the taste of humble pie.
Yep, it tastes great.
So who put down? Who do you think is going to win it?
I didn't do a mid-season prediction, but I don't think I've ever backed anyone but Lewis the last 4 years. So. Yeah,
likely pedal book.
I will
back
not back Seb to win championship.
Please don't go back and listen to the earlier podcast, because if I did, I'm going to feel really stupid.
Right, let's ask the question we always ask, which is, who is this the most important weekend for? But let's take out the drivers at the top, and Seb and Lewis and Mercedes and Ferrari. Let's look further down, shall we? Who is this the most important weekend for? Who's got to shine?
I've got two. So the real one, the one that matters, I think we talked about it quite a lot on the last pod, is Force India as a team. Just need to get their shit together. I don't think I'll say more than that, because we talked about it a lot in the last race, in the last pod. So Force India need to get their shit together. But also, I just want to say, Daniel Kvyat, right? Go back and watch that race again. How many times was his name mentioned? None. That's Spa, right? How many times? His name won't get mentioned this weekend unless he clatters into someone. Fact, right? That guy is doing nothing, okay? Now, I think Brundle made a very good point on Saturday, and he said, Buemi, Bourdais, Jean-Éric Vergne, all came through to Toro Rosso, were all less clattery than Kvyat, and all stuck around less time than Kvyat has. Why is he still at that team? Someone's going to say Russian money, but even aside from that, you've got so many faster people who can win you races coming up through that academy squad. Dump him, let him go to Formula E. He is done. He needs to start showing something in the second half of this season, or he's going to be gone. We don't talk much about Danny Kvyat on the pod because there's no reason to, because he's utterly useless.
Driving for EC, isn't he? That's the thing. I think there's a lot of people actually, you say who's important, I think there's a lot of them that are driving for their seat for next season. I think Haas might be pretty safe. They seem quite solid.
And they've both been confirmed.
Yeah, I was going to say that. Sorry, I didn't actually. But I do think they're pretty solid, and they're having, like, Nico Hülkenberg, I think he's one that is definitely, but there's people like Julian Palmer, they're definitely driving for their seat next season, for sure.
Spot on. I still can't go over the fact that I didn't even twig it was Stoffel van Dorn's home race in Belgium, and we basically never got mentioned. It's just nuts.
I did actually think about that halfway through the race. I was like, I'm sure he's Belgian, and no one seems to give a
compared to the Dutchman whose home race it was. I mean, off.
They had Jackie X on the grid, and Brundle tried to say to him about Stoffel, you know, down the back, and I think he just like brushed over it in two words, was like, yeah, great.
Daniel Kvyat.
No one cares. No one cares about the stuff.
Anyone else?
I was going to say it's a big weekend for Palmer, but I think his exit's already written, isn't it?
Oh, I've given up predicting him getting points finishes, to be honest, but yeah, he's just not got it in him, has he? Alright, well, I think that will wrap it up in terms of preview. We are very much looking forward to the action in Monza, I think that has to be said, and we'll be back with you with our predictions podcast. But until then, let me plug the social media channels. At the NRF1 is the handle for Twitter, Facebook and Instagram, so join us there. We'll have lots of chances for you to interact with us over the remaining part of the season. We may even have some betting tips from Kyle. We'll have to see, he's quite busy at the moment. We miss you, Kyle. Come back soon. Everything you need, it's on the website, nrf1.uk. And email us too, please. Send us your thoughts, questions, comments, whatever you want to say. Photos, yeah, as long as they're, you know, safe. nrf1podcast@gmail.com is the email address, and Melissa will delight in your pictures. On its way is the Prediction League, we'll be predicting stuff. We probably won't have much of an update on the actual league standings. That's going to come after Monza, but we'll talk about that in a bit. And if you get a few minutes, check out our YouTube channel, nrf1.uk/nrf1tube. There's loads of great videos there, including our British Grand Prix fun and games. Right, that's it. Goodbye from our guests. Goodbye, TT.
Adios.
Goodbye, Melissa.
Bye.
Goodbye, Ted.
Ciao.
Goodbye from myself. Melissa liked that. Thanks to our proud partners, Grand Prix Racing Online. You can sign up at gpro.net/nrf1. This has been the NRF1 podcast, the third of our three pods in 3 days. We'll be with you next as we predict all the Monza action. Until then, a very good night.
If the world were like a Sleep Number mattress, everything would adapt for your comfort. Because as your life changes and your body changes, Sleep Number mattresses adapt and shift to give you personalized comfort night after night. And now it's the final days of our Everything's on Sale event. Save up to $1,200 on mattresses. Our Memorial Day event ends Monday. To experience a whole new world of comfort, visit a Sleep Number store or go to sleepnumber.com. Sleep Number, to a good life's sleep.